Welcome to Bree. I'm Mia.
And I'm Milo.
Today we've got a solid run of developer stories, tool launches, security scares, and a big move from OpenAI.
And one of the biggest scoops is a high-interest model release that nobody can actually read about.
That's where we start. xAI has a new model, Grok 4.5.
Which sounds like news, except the official release blog post wouldn't load at all.
So the primary source everyone is working from is a Hacker News thread with over 380 points.
Right, a proxy conversation. High engagement, high curiosity, but the actual benchmark results, pricing, or feature claims are still locked out.
Any capability claim you see floating around right now is unverified.
Worth remembering when a number like 4.5 shows up in a headline.
Meanwhile, Microsoft put something concrete on the table. A library called Flint.
Flint is a JSON-based language for describing charts and dashboards aimed specifically at AI agents.
So instead of every agent integrating a different visualization hack, developers could use one standard declarative format.
And it's an open TypeScript library to render those components.
The value is in reducing friction if it gets real adoption.
But for now, it's a single release announcement.
Let's look at a much shakier claim now. A model called SWE-1.7.
The headline says it reaches near GPT-5.5, an Anthropic Opus-level intelligence on software engineering benchmarks.
And again, the original article was unavailable. All we saw was the Hacker News post and the summary text.
So no architecture, no established developer, no benchmark methodology. Just the claim.
If it were true, it would mean the edge of proprietary models is already gone.
But right now, there's zero way to verify it.
Shifting to policy in Europe. The EU is now one formal step away from reviving private message scanning rules.
Often called chat control. It would require platforms to scan all private digital communications, including end-to-end encrypted messages, before they're sent.
The stated target is child sexual abuse material.
But the method forces a terrible binary on apps like WhatsApp and Signal. Build a surveillance backdoor or leave the EU market.
Privacy advocates and some member states call it a fundamental break with encryption guarantees.
And the final procedural vote could rewrite digital privacy for hundreds of millions.
Speaking of security guarantees, OpenBSD just got hit where it hurts.
A new kernel-level use after free bug lets any local user escalate to root.
That's exactly the kind of flaw that shouldn't happen on an OS built for security-first deployments.
Think shared hosting environments, bastion hosts, anywhere a non-root account is supposed to be an absolute wall.
The primary technical article was unreachable, so we don't yet know the exact kernel component or patch status.
But the flaw type alone raises immediate questions about how it snuck through.
A different kind of flaw is showing up in Anthropic's Fable app.
Users are complaining the content classifiers in front of it are overly strict.
The Hacker News discussion described them as too zealous, blocking prompts that were creative but entirely innocuous.
It's a classic guardrail problem. The model underneath might be fine, but the gatekeeper won't let you in.
We don't have numbers or a company statement yet, just community frustration.
If creators hit that wall repeatedly, they'll stop knocking.
On the robotics side, Mistral launched a model called RoboStrutial Navigate.
Positioned as a state-of-the-art navigation model that merges vision, language, and action.
The headline uses strong language, but the original article was inaccessible during collection.
So again, no verified benchmarks, no third-party review, and no architecture details.
Real-world robot navigation is a hard problem, so a real leap would matter a lot.
The gap between headline and reality here is just unknown.
Finally, OpenAI made a clear push toward agent-like behavior with something called GPT Live.
This isn't a normal chat. It uses a persistent WebRDC data channel connected to a special real-time API.
That means the model sees your screen, can interrupt you, and can send data back. It's a co-present agent.
One demo showed it as a voice overlay analyzing photos. Another showed it correcting a math diagram in real time during screen share.
It launched for ChatGPT Plus subscribers, with Pro tier getting roughly 30 minutes of video a day.
So the model isn't just responding anymore. It's watching and jumping in. That changes the relationship.
Now to a close call in open source security. OpenManjeeva says it stopped a deliberate attempt to sabotage its rolling release, called Rome.
An anonymous contributor spent several weeks slipping in code. The changes weren't subtle mistakes. They were designed to disable SE link licks, strip out package verification, and swap in new signing keys.
In effect, a trusted distribution could have shipped unsigned, unverified packages to users, and they'd never know.
The team caught it before the compromised ISO reached the public. They haven't pointed at any person, group, or state behind it.
The story isn't about one failed attack. It's a reminder that the build pipeline is the prize. Compromise that, and every update becomes a possible vector.
Something big landed, and then promptly disappeared. TypeScript 7 has been announced.
Dan Rosenwasser from the core team made the post. It shot up Hacker News to nearly 400 points, so people clearly wanted the details.
But the original article is completely unreachable right now. A browsing failure took it offline.
So the community knows a major version is coming, but nobody can read what's actually in it. That's a rough launch for a tool millions of developers rely on.
Until the post is back, the real scope of the change is just an open question.
Cloudflare dropped two open source projects at about the same time. One's called Drop, the other, Meerkat.
We'd love to tell you what they do. The evidence is basically two Hacker News listings with broken links.
Meerkat's title mentions globally distributed consensus. Drop has no description at all. No authors, no technical details, no comments to pull from.
The timing looks coordinated, but until documentation surfaces, developers can't really evaluate the tools, let alone decide to adopt them.
Right now, it's a pair of names and a lot of guesswork.
Staying with that theme of thin detail, a project called GeoCKill appeared on Hacker News, described as a skill for Claude and OpenAI Codex that handles geospatial data.
And once again, the source article was unavailable. We don't have the author. No points, no comments, and crucially, no demo or proof that it functions.
The idea itself is interesting. Give coding models a handle on maps and location queries, but with nothing to look at, it's a concept flag, not a tool you can use.
For now, GeoCKill is a bookmark, not a download.
On a more concrete note, a project called Chatto just went open source, and developers noticed immediately. The announcement pulled in over 600 points.
The author, Specs, describes it as a chat UI toolkit, focusing on what the excerpt calls back chat functionality.
That's a real removal of friction. If you're adding AI chat to an app, building the interface from scratch eats a lot of time.
Right? But with only a teaser-level excerpt out there, we don't yet know how flexible it is or what license it's under. The interest is high, but the long-term viability is still an open question.
Here's one that got people talking about testing assumptions. A bug surfaced that only hit left-handed users.
The original article behind the Hacker News thread is gone, so we can't confirm the exact software or company. The core detail was that a fault existed where your dominant hand was the trigger.
No patch status, no scale of impact. But the story stuck because it points at a quiet default. Interfaces are often designed and tested by right-handed people for right-handed people.
It's less about the bug itself and more about a blind spot that any team can have in QA.
One another conversation on testing, but this time about evaluating coders, not usability. The framing is about separating signal from noise in coding evaluations.
The core problem is familiar. A lot of assessments end up measuring how skilled the evaluator is at prompting or reading the output, not the actual code quality.
The proposed approach tries to decouple that. Strip out the evaluator's own ability so you're left with a cleaner measure of genuine coding performance.
If the metric is noisy, organizations hire and promote on flawed signals. They can miss strong engineers just because their style isn't familiar to the reviewer.
Exactly. This is an attempt to fix the scale, not the coder.
Last item. Apple is reportedly increasing its spending with Broadcom to make billions more chips in the US.
Worth flagging the sourcing here. The story is from a Hacker News submission. The original article failed to load, so we have no dollar figures, no timeline, and no confirmation of what chips or which facilities are involved.
If the report holds, it deepens a domestic supply agreement at a time when onshoring chip production matters a lot to large hardware firms.
But listeners should treat the scale and the specifics as preliminary. This one needs Apple or Broadcom's to fill in the blanks.
And now for one of the stranger finds this week. Someone spotted a Uniqlo t-shirt design that looked a little too familiar to a command line user.
A developer noticed the graphic was an obfuscated, self-evaluating bash script. The image was being served through Akamai's CDN.
The exact purpose of the code is still unclear from this single report. But that did not stop the internet.
The Hacker News thread pulled in over 1,200 points. People are already trying to decode it. So far, the theories split between an elaborate Easter egg, a marketing stunt, or just a very niche technical in-joke.
From clothing to code culture. A game called Fang Simulator landed on Hacker News, and the comment thread turned into group therapy.
We cannot pull up the original game link. Everything we know comes from the discussion, which centered on the game's satire of extreme tech workplace culture.
The scenarios reportedly cover stack ranking, PIP culture, and interview hazing. And commenters kept describing the simulation as painfully accurate, not exaggerated.
The thread itself becomes the story. The collective venting shows a workforce that feels the utopian promise of big tech has been replaced by something closer to a pressure cooker.
That's our snapshot for now. Thanks for listening, wherever you're tuning in.
I'm Milo, and I'm Mia. We'll talk again soon.